Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Happy Easter.
And Glenn Leverins.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia. It's Monday, April 10th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air here on this Easter Monday morning. Happy Easter. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Producer Gabby is in for Sarah this morning. Thanks so much for joining us across America and beyond here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Hope you had a very blessed and joyful Easter Sunday with your family and loved ones. On this Monday of the octave of Easter, we are celebrating the greatest event in human history, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this feast is so big that it lasts this entire week. We have an octave of Easter, and it goes on for 50 entire days. Today is also day four of the Divine Mercy Novena in anticipation of Divine Mercy Sunday established by St. Pope John Paul II. I want to bring in my colleague Glenn Leverins. Happy Easter, Glenn. What are some of the stories that you are keeping an eye on, making headlines here this hour on this Easter Monday morning?
Well, hey, good morning and happy Easter to you, John, and to everyone listening as well today. Pope Francis gave his annual Orbi et Orbi speech. It was to the city and to the world. His greetings to over 100,000 estimated to be in attendance there at St. Peter's Square, saying, "May this Easter be for each of you, dear brothers and sisters, and in particular the sick and the poor, the elderly and those experiencing moments of trial and weariness, a passage from affliction to consolation." He said, "We're not alone. Jesus, the living one, is with us forever. Let the church and world rejoice, for today our hopes no longer come up against the wall of death, for the Lord has built us a bridge to life."
It was a beautiful event there in St. Peter's. 100,000 people in the piazza, the St. Peter's Square. Can you imagine the Holy Father being able to celebrate all of these events of the Easter Triduum, despite the fact that he was in the hospital just recently? It was good to see him back in action.
Oh, it certainly was. Certainly was. And just a little more than a week removed from being hospitalized for bronchitis, right on the eve of Holy Week. But he was at it for much of what went on during the Triduum and more. And so great to hear from him. And just a beautiful setting, too. Hats off to everyone who helped decorate their churches and their parishes for Easter and St. Peter's Basilica and that general area. Very, very beautiful. How many flowers did you say were there, John?
Can you believe it? 35,000 flowers of all different types from the Netherlands that decorated St. Peter's Square. So, it had to be absolutely magnificent. And the message was magnificent as well. Holy Father saying, "Christ is risen. He is truly risen." And he went on to explain how the word "truly" really underscores the meaning of Easter and how the Lord's resurrection is a reality. It's not just wishful thinking. And he also went on to say, Glenn, and this is what I think is such a great reminder, the most important and beautiful day of history is what he called Easter Sunday.
Yeah, amen to that. Amen to that as well. So happy Easter as it continues into the second day of the octave of Easter and 50 days, John, of the Easter season.
How was your Easter celebration?
Well, I tell you, this beautiful Triduum at church, and then yesterday, a day of kind of hanging out with family and enjoying some goodies and a lot of great conversation, too.
I tell you what, I got emotional at the beginning of the Easter Mass yesterday. You know, when the organ starts chiming in and the Alleluias start being sung and the Easter music, it's all so beautiful. It all just reminds us of just how magnificent and the great splendor and the majesty of the Catholic Mass on Easter Sunday. It was a wonderful time to spend with the family yesterday.
Yeah, knowing that stuff is just a little foretaste of the feast to come.
Absolutely. And I know that for sports fans out there, golf fans in particular, it was a big day as it was the final day of the Masters. John Rahm is the winner of this year's Masters. The Spaniard became the fourth Spaniard to win the green jacket at Augusta National yesterday. Finished 12 under par, holding off Americans Phil Mickelson and Brooks Koepka. It's Rahm's first major win since he took home the 2021 U.S. Open title, and he won it on the birthday of his idol, his hero, the late great Spaniard Seve Ballesteros, who 40 years to the day earlier had won the Masters, Glenn. Can you believe it?
Oh, yeah, and Tiger Woods, of course, still draws a lot of attention. He was not doing well in terms of physically, kind of limping around the course and had to withdraw before the final day, aggravated some injuries there, but Tiger is still at it, but not finishing the day yesterday.
Yeah, it was a foot injury that kept him out of the final day. But hopefully we'll see more of Tiger to come.
And Mr. Rahm now moves into number one in the official World Golf Rankings.
There you go. All right, as always, thanks so much. Happy Easter, Glenn.
Yes, and to you too. Thanks, John.
We start every hour in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings. Especially on this day, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And we pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit this morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can always send us an email directly with any comments or any show ideas that you might have. MorningAir@relevantradio.com is our address. And you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Morning Air Show. And our number, if you want to be part of the conversation here this morning, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, during this octave and Easter season, the church celebrates the greatest miracle in history, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Catholics, why do we believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and why do we believe in his glorious resurrection? St. Paul wrote that if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, our faith is in vain. Joining us live this morning is our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, with much more on some of the proofs of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from Scripture and from history. Father Burke is the pastor of St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale, Illinois, and a Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain known as the Baseball Priest and a longtime Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us. It is a joy to be with you on this Easter Monday.
Happy Easter, John. Yes, we ask for the gift of faith because, as you've been saying this morning, this is the occurrence that changed the history of the world. And I always like to bring baseball into things, as you mentioned, the Baseball Priest. And I was thinking about Tug McGraw. You know, back in 1973, the Mets were really struggling. They were 36-46 in last place in the National League East. The owner had gathered the team together for a team meeting, and Tug McGraw interrupted the meeting and just kind of shouted out. He said, "You got to believe." And that Mets team won the pennant on the last day of the season. And, you know, Tug McGraw is kind of known for that slogan, "You got to believe." He took it with him to the Phillies when they won the World Series in 1980. And as I was reflecting on that, I thought, as we reflect on the gift of the resurrection, the Lord wants to show us why we should believe and say, you got to believe this, because this not only changed the history of the world, but it'll change your individual life as well.
Father Burke, that's a great, great connection to baseball, the game that you love. And, you know, I actually remember that saying by Tug McGraw. It was very famous. You got to believe. And sure enough, those Miracle Mets did it again.
Yeah, and you still see it today when, the Mets are having a good season. You see those signs come out again. You got to believe.
Well, brings up the question for all of us, and I think it's such an important question. It is the question of questions. Why do we as Catholics believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Can you share some historical facts that are quite compelling, quite convincing?
Yeah, so I kind of laid these out for my Easter homily. Because there are many people today who say, you know, I believe more in science than religion, and the two don't go together. But I think, you know, I'm a mathematician, and I don't believe just because somebody tells me to believe. I believe because it makes sense. And I had two lawyers come up to me after Easter homily, after Mass, and they said, boy, it sounded like we were in an appellate court. They said, we love the way you just kind of laid that out, and it is compelling. So let's walk through the facts. The first one is there is historical evidence that there was a Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified under Pontius Pilate. We see that in the history books, and so we can establish the fact that there was a Jesus who was crucified under Pontius Pilate. The second thing is when somebody dies and they're crucified, they place them in a tomb. And from Scripture, we know that the tomb was empty. Now, there can be a few different options, if you will, of why the tomb was empty. Some can say that maybe Jesus didn't really die. Maybe they thought he was dead. They put him in the tomb, and then he pushed the stone away himself. Another option, and we hear that in the gospel for today, that some of the chief priests paid a large sum of money to tell the guards to tell people that somebody stole the body, or he actually rose from the dead. And so the next reasons are going to show why we believe that the third option is logical and it has meaning, that Jesus actually rose from the dead. The third one is there are many eyewitnesses who saw Jesus after the resurrection. He appeared to Peter and James on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. They were out fishing after the resurrection. He appeared to the disciples in the upper room, you know, and he told Thomas, who doubted, touch my wounds. He wanted to show that he has the wounds still in his body, but he rose body and soul. He ate fish to prove that he just wasn't a ghost, and he appeared to thousands of people. And so we have those eyewitness events where they saw people who saw him dead and they saw him alive. The next fact is the disciples started proclaiming the bodily resurrection of Jesus immediately. It wasn't like they waited 50 years, you know, or 30 years and say, wow, wasn't that, you know, it's a shame that Jesus died, so let's make something up that he rose from the dead. No, immediately, especially after Pentecost, they preach boldly that Jesus rose from the dead. The next piece is one of the most convincing for me. You look at the transformation of the disciples. So when the Passion was happening, which we celebrated on Friday, only Mary Magdalene, and John stayed with Jesus to the cross. And so the others were cowering in the upper room thinking, boy, if this happened to Jesus, probably going to happen to us too as his followers. And so they, you know, humanly speaking, it's a normal reaction. They were afraid. But after he appeared to them, and then shortly after that, after he poured the Holy Spirit upon them on Pentecost, they boldly proclaimed, you know, that Jesus rose from the dead, to the point where they were willing to die. And all of the disciples, except John, who died, you know, of old age, and Judas, of course, took his life, they died as martyrs. And I always ask people, would you give your life for something that you weren't sure about? You know, if we go back to baseball, for example, you know, a chaplain for the Cubs, I would love to see them win another World Series. But but I would not bet my life that they would win the World Series this year, because it's a, I mean, there's 30 teams. They're, you know, the chances are very small. But if I saw Jesus dead and I saw him alive, I would give my life for it. Or think about it, if you're at a funeral and during the funeral mass, the person in the casket climbs out of the casket, what would you do? You'd probably pass out at first, and then you would go and tell the world because you saw it. You knew it happened, and you would be willing to give your life for that. That piece of evidence to go from being scared to death to, you know, giving their lives for Christ, I think is convincing evidence. The next thing is,
Father Berger, if I may just jump in real quick, just a follow up thought. You know, obviously the disciples in that upper room, they came to believe in Jesus and be able to boldly proclaim him. But let's not forget also St. Paul, who had that miraculous encounter with our Lord, the risen Lord. Paul was willing to die for Jesus, and in the end, he did die as a martyr. And just another example, in addition to Peter, of the great faith that he received and how boldly he preached Christ and Christ crucified after the resurrection.
Amen. And Saul, you know, was persecuting Christians. The Christians were afraid of Saul because his reputation was, if he finds you as a Christian, you're going to get dragged in and possibly be killed. And then, as you said, as he encountered Jesus, the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus, his life was completely transformed. You could say, well, what can explain that kind of transformation? You know, he was convinced that this Jesus was alive, and as you said, he gave his life too. People just don't give their lives for, you know, just for a 50-50 proposition or less, you know. And then another piece then is the faith spread rapidly and continues to spread throughout the world. So there have been many movements and many belief systems that have risen up, you know, in the history of the world. But when they're not of God, they die out, often very quickly. But this continues, Christianity and the Catholic Church continues to grow and spread around the world for the last 2,000 years, which is continues to be evidence that this is real and it's lasting. And then another piece of evidence that I was studying, somebody sent me a video from Father Spritzer and Chris Stefanik about the Shroud of Turin.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I was just thinking the exact same thing, Father.
Really?
I kid you not.
Yeah, so if you look at, and I encourage people to go to Magis Center, magiscenter.com, that has all of this evidence. The Shroud of Turin, we know, we believe was the shroud that was placed over Jesus' body. And the image on the shroud was, it comes from the body outward rather than from outward onto the shroud. So if you think about it, they said the energy, the power that happened in that flash of an instant of the resurrection seared this image onto the shroud. All of the images that show the blood, even like the water and blood that poured forth from the side of Jesus, all of the wounds match up point by point for what we know of what happened at the crucifixion. And then this image, they said the energy that it took from the resurrection is the equivalent of 6 billion, with a B, 6 billion watts of energy, which is the equivalent of 500,000 powerful searchlights focusing on this linen in an instant of 1/40 billionth of a second. They said no human being could have made this image, but the flash had to come from God. It dates back to the time of Christ, the shroud does. And the blood that they found is type AB blood, which is the universal recipient. And it's the same type of blood that they find in every Eucharistic miracle that has happened around the world. And so even scientists, you know, if people say faith and science don't go together, even scientists will say, this is unexplainable, other than, you know, it would be the instant of the resurrection that would sear this image onto this this cloth. So for me, you put all these things together. Jesus is real. He died. He rose from the dead. He completely changed people's lives. And he continues to change people's lives today, including us who claim to be his followers, his disciples.
So, Father Burke, in summary, when we study the historical truths and then combine them for us as Catholics from the biblical truths, when we see the many, many scriptures in all of the Gospels and the writings of St. Paul that shows our Lord appearing to Mary Magdalene on Easter morning and to the other women and to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, to Peter and the 12 on Easter night, when we see all of it all put together, the 500 brothers and sisters in an unspecified place, to St. Paul on the road to Damascus, when you put it all together, the evidence is overwhelming for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
It is overwhelming. And so what does that mean for us today? I think three important things. I think, one, the Lord is calling you and me to be his followers, to be his disciples. He calls us by name in our baptism, and then throughout our lives, he's saying, come follow me. This is the way to true, the catechism calls it, and we've been talking about this, the vocation, the beatitude. Our call to true happiness is in following Christ. The second thing is, he wants to completely transform our lives. He brought up St. Paul, the apostles. They were completely transformed by this fact of the resurrection, to the point where they gave their lives for him. And so the Lord has given us the church, the Bible, the sacraments, all of these tools, his grace, in order to transform us. He says, I've come to make all things new. He doesn't want us, and through one confession, he can change us from being the old creation to a completely new creation. And so he wants not just an hour on Sunday, but he wants our whole lives. And it's in giving of ourselves completely to the Lord that we find who we are. And then the last thing, I think he calls us to go on mission. So we're all disciples, which means to be a student or a follower, but we're also all apostles. So the word post, like you hear post office, the word post is in the word apostle, meaning one who is sent by God. And so at the end of Mass, when we say go, we're calling all of us to go and share, you know, how God has completely transformed my life. You know, a simple methodology would be, this is what my life was like before I met Christ. This is how I encountered Christ. And this is how my life has changed since. And I feel like God has called me from being a Protestant baseball player to a Catholic priest, is to help people see the gift that God has given us in his son Jesus and through the Catholic Church.
Well, Father Burke, I really appreciate your perspective on all of these many proofs for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and also the mission for us, how we can make this real in our lives. Can you leave us with your blessing?
Be happy to. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to send your blessing down upon all who are listening. Just flood them with the gifts of your Holy Spirit, and give them the gift of faith, that they can believe that you are the Son of God, that you rose from the dead, and you desire to make all things new. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Father Burke. Happy Easter to you. Really appreciate it.
You too. You got to believe.
You got to believe. I love it. Father Burgmasters, the baseball priest and a longtime Morning Air contributor. We need to take a break when Morning Air continues. We're going to be joined by another good friend of the program, author, speaker, and radio host. Gary Zimick will be with us to talk about how to live the joy of the resurrection every single day. So stay with us. There is much more to come as this Easter Monday edition of Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for being with us on this Easter Monday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 11:25. Jesus the Lord says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Alleluia. Jesus the Lord is truly risen just as he promised. His tomb is empty. Death has no more power over him. Do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? That is the fundamental question for all of us this morning. Do you believe that Christ is the resurrection and the life? And if you believe in him, you will live forever? That's the question that our blessed Lord asked Martha. And she responded, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Do you believe the words of the risen Jesus in the Gospels? Jesus is calling you. He is the resurrection and the life. With the Holy Spirit, we can say, "Jesus is Lord, and he is risen indeed." We always pray with great confidence that prayer that Drew Mariani prays every afternoon during the Chapel of Divine Mercy, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, sometimes we lose focus on so much on some of the struggles, and we are, you know, thinking about the struggles, and we actually lose focus of what's really important. We lose sight of how to experience joy in the present moment and really live the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is supposed to be a really, really joyous day. Joining us live from New Jersey is longtime Morning Air contributor Gary Zimick to tell us how to live the joy of the resurrection every day. Gary Zimick is author of the best-selling book Stop Worrying and Start Living, and he speaks frequently at parishes and conferences across the U.S. You can sign up for Gary's daily email reflections and see his speaking schedule or arrange to bring him to your parish by visiting his website, followingthetruth.com. Good morning, Gary. Happy Easter. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always great to be with you, and especially this morning here on this Easter Monday.
Oh, good morning, John. Happy Easter to you. It's always a pleasure. And I am excited to be here on this Easter Monday. Something really big happened yesterday, and I'm just thrilled to be able to talk about it on the air.
Absolutely. In fact, Pope Francis called it the most important and beautiful day in history. It should be a day of joy. Why is it that sometimes we don't feel the joy of the Lord's resurrection?
You know, John, I think what it is we either look at the resurrection of Jesus, those of us who believe that he did rise from the dead, we look at it as either a past event, that this happened 2,000 years ago, or a future event by virtue of the fact that he suffered, died, and rose from the dead. The gates of heaven are open, and therefore I'm able to live forever in heaven. And I think sometimes we fail to see it as something that affects our lives in the present. And as a result, sometimes it's difficult, if we look at it that way, as a past or a future event, it's difficult to feel the joy of that resurrection and to live it today.
You know, St. Paul says that without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to say that Jesus is Lord. And I think that without the Holy Spirit, it's very difficult to really understand just the true meaning of Easter Sunday, of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Exactly, because we're trying to force ourselves oftentimes, and I'm guilty of this, to either do good, do the right thing, or to feel the presence of the Lord, or to feel the power of the resurrection, or to feel that God really loves me. And I think you're exactly right. The Holy Spirit could be a tremendous help in allowing us to really believe strongly in these things are so important to us. And also, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. So if I'm to live as someone who is joyful, especially in light of the fact that the Lord rose from the dead, he defeated death, I need to depend on the Holy Spirit. And that's, in fact, one of the practices, my morning prayers every day is, come Holy Spirit, inspire my thoughts, my words, my actions. This is the Spirit of Jesus. He gave us his Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can help us to better appreciate what took place 2,000 years ago on that first Easter Sunday, and also how it affects me today.
Can you give us some practical advice on what we can do better appreciate exactly what happened on that first Easter Sunday?
Yeah, you know, John, and I've struggled with this, John. This has been something that I've been meditating upon myself. I just got done leading 7 parish missions during Lent. It's been a busy Lent for me. And I recognize this. Some people we just struggle with this idea. Okay, the Lord rose from the dead, but here I am today. I got problems today. I got financial worries. I have illness. I know so many people, John, right now who are suffering from serious illnesses. And sometimes it's just hard to face the day and say, okay, I know that one day I can live in heaven. That's great, but how do I make it through the day? And I think basically one of the best things that we can do is just simply look at the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That means he is alive. The fact that he's alive means that he is able to be with me today and give me the grace to deal with whatever comes my way and to help me. And especially if I'm feeling lonely, I'm discouraged, he's with me. He's alive and he can walk with me today. I can turn to him. And just thinking about that, recognizing that he's alive, he's not dead. He's alive, he's able to be with me. And that opens the door to all of his promises, everything he said. Peace be with you. Let not your heart be troubled. Be not afraid. All these great messages come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. The fact that he's alive means he's able to fulfill these promises in my life today. And that can make a huge difference when we're facing the trials and tribulations of life. No doubt they're there.
If we really believe in our heart of hearts that Jesus Christ is truly risen and that he is alive and he's with us to this day, then that means that we need to show some kind of a change. We need to be his disciple. We need to try to, follow him and really to live out whatever mission he has for us.
Exactly, because there are people there who don't know Jesus in the world, who don't know Jesus, people in our own lives, sometimes under our own roofs, that need to know about Jesus. And I can be Jesus to somebody today. And I can't do that unless I know Jesus myself and I'm able to, to express to people what he's done for me, both by my words and by my actions. So, yeah, we have to believe it and then live it. Because the Lord's counting us to be his hands and his feet in the world. And I'll tell you, John, over the course of Lent, as I traveled around the country and talked to so many people, I realized people are suffering. You know, when I gave these Give Up Worry for Lent parish missions, people are coming out by the hundreds because they're worried, they're struggling, they're looking for relief. And I've made a deal with the Lord that as long as he gives me health and he gives me the work, I'm going to keep doing what I can to share what he's done for me, because I'm somebody who struggles with discouragement. I'm somebody who struggles with feeling joy every day. And when I turn to the Lord, I begin to feel that joy. And that's just what I want to share with others. And everybody can do that, because somebody that we will all meet today needs that joy of the resurrection in the present moment. And we can be the instruments.
Gary, this feast of Easter is so big that it's not contained in just one day. We have the 8-day octave, and the Easter season actually goes on for 50 days. How would you summarize the ultimate message of Easter?
You know, I could put it in one word. I think the ultimate message is hope. Jesus gives us hope for the future, which filters down to the present moment, too. Because of what happened on Easter, I can live forever with the Lord in heaven. And that's a great thing. But, you know, as we were saying, sometimes it's difficult to put that into the context of today. Well, that's great. That's the future. But how is it today? How can I feel that peace today? How can I get out of what's ailing me? How can I break free from discouragement? But the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and he's with me, that gives me the hope to face today. And we're never alone because he's with us and he's able to help us and he loves us. And that can really make all the difference in facing the problems of the world that we in our own lives today.
I heard a priest yesterday in his homily on Easter Sunday say that the biggest question, the question of questions for every single one of us, for all Catholics and, in fact, for all Christians, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God and that he rose from the dead? And I think that that's a question that we all must personally answer.
Exactly. Exactly. We must. And we should be living our lives in a way that supports our answer. It's easy to say, oh, sure, I believe it, but are we discouraged? Are we depressed? Are we struggling? And sure, we're all going to find these things, these challenges of life that can weigh us down. But I like to look at the words of Jesus, the risen Jesus who is alive, who is with me in John 16:33, when he said, in this world, you will have troubles, you'll have trials, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. He's bigger than any problem I can ever face. And this is something I need to tell myself every morning because I forget this. And as I start to get weighed down, I need to remind myself, and I do that through prayer, through trying to get to daily mass, through reading scripture. I need to be in touch with the Lord and recognize that he's bigger than whatever it is that's causing me anxiety today.
And the risen Lord is with us to this very moment. He promised he would always be with us when he said, I am with you always. I want to invite our listeners, if you want to share your own experience of experiencing Jesus being your hope, experiencing the joy of this Easter season and the gift of the resurrection. We're taking your calls for Catholic author and speaker Gary Zimek at 888-914-9149. If you want to share with us what Easter and his Easter octave means to you, love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Gary Zimek. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Welcome back to Morning Air on this Easter Monday morning. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us as we continue our conversation with longtime Morning Air contributor Gary Zimek, a Catholic speaker, author, and radio host. We're talking about how to live the joy of the resurrection every single day. Gary is the author of the book Stop Worrying and Start Living. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share with us this morning of how to live this Easter joy, this entire octave in this Easter season. If you want to share your experiences of Christ's joy with us, perhaps maybe the feeling that you experienced, that joy of the Easter Triduum, and you were able to attend Mass on the Easter Vigil. Love to hear your experience with us this morning. Again, 888-914-9149. Gary, now that Lent, of course, is over and we're officially in the Easter octave and the Easter season, how can we make sure that any of the spiritual progress that we made during the Lenten season doesn't go to waste?
Great question. I think that what we want to remember is that Lent was that time for us to realize that we have attachments, various things that we tend to gravitate toward, which keep us away from the Lord. So during Lent, we were working on this. We're trying to draw closer to him, to detach from the things that keep us away from him, and to try to attach closer to him. And I think what we want to do now is to not just forget about it now that Lent is over, but to build on the progress that we made during Lent. And I think it's a mistake that I've done it so many times in the past. Oh, I gave this up for Lent. Now that Lent's over, yeah, it's fine to celebrate, but we also want to build on the spiritual progress that we made. And maybe if we spent less time watching TV or surfing the internet and more time in prayer, or we gave up our favorite snack and contributed the money to charity, we want to build on that and keep working on that the rest of the year, and and just build on the progress that we made during the Lenten season, at the same time rejoicing in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead.
Do you think it's kind of human nature, you know, once you go through these 40 days of Lent and whatever it is that you gave up or that you added, that you kind of you take your foot off the pedal and you're not quite as focused here now that Easter has come?
Absolutely, because now's the time to celebrate, and it is. But, you know, when you think back to Lent or the way Lent should work, it's a time for spiritual growth, and we don't want to stop. And I was thinking about this the other day, yesterday, actually. I was reflecting on it, on the resurrection of Jesus and the end of Lent. And there's still some changes that I want to make in my life, things I was working on during Lent. And I think sometimes, John, a very fruitful Lent can be just the realization that you have a problem in a certain area, and then you could spend the rest of the year working on it. You know, a lot of times we want to take control of Lent. I know I've struggled with that. This is what I'm going to accomplish. But I know you're a big believer in the Holy Spirit. We talked about him earlier. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives you another idea during Lent. And I've gone through Lent before when I just got the idea in my head that I need to work on this area. I didn't perfect it. I didn't completely eliminate it from my life. But I realized that it was a problem, which is a big step. And now we have the rest of the year to work on that as well.
No question. Gary, you know, there's a saying that without Good Friday, there is no Easter Sunday. Can you talk about how the Lord's passion and death fit into the joy that we should be experiencing here during this Easter Odd Cave and the Easter season?
Yeah, even though the emphasis is on the resurrection of Jesus and the joy that goes along with that, we don't want to forget what he did on the cross for us. So I think that idea of his suffering on the cross for us is an important one to remember, because, you know, just because we're in the Easter octave right now doesn't mean we don't have suffering in our own lives. So somehow I have to reconcile that suffering that I'm going through with the reality that Jesus rose from the dead. And I think that's important that we do that. And honestly, we're going to find that joy we're looking for by embracing our cross and by following Jesus wherever he leads. And also, I think it's important for us to remember why Jesus did what he did on the cross. It shows us how much he loves us. And that's something I never want to forget. So throughout the year, we don't want to forget the fact that Jesus died on the cross. Right now, yes, we are rejoicing, we're celebrating. But when I think about that Good Friday, which led, as you said, to that Easter Sunday, I remember just how much Jesus loved me and loves me today.
And that is why for us as Catholics, the cross and specifically the crucifix is so important, even after Good Friday. You know, the crucifix beautifully decorated on Easter Sunday with beautiful flowers all around it is a never-ending reminder that it was because of the cross that we can enjoy the gift of Easter Sunday, of the resurrection.
That is so true. And I can't look at a crucifix, and I'm looking at one right now. I can't look at a crucifix without reminding myself just how much Jesus loves me. So that's why that symbol is so important. And it's also a sign for those of us who are suffering that all of our suffering is temporary. And that's an important thing for anybody who's going through something right now. All of our problems, everything we're facing in this life, they'll be gone one day, either in this life or in the next. So just the fact that we realize that just as Jesus had to suffer for a time and then he rose from the dead, that's the same way it is for us. This life is filled with trials, but we can experience joy by walking with the Lord and the promise that it will get better at some point in time in some way if we stay focused on Jesus and walk with him.
Well, if we're going to talk about joy, as you mentioned at the beginning, you know, joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We have to tap in to the Holy Spirit. And that's why this entire season of Easter, we're reading from the Acts of the Apostles, yeah, which is known as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, is one of the descriptions for the Acts. So can you share with us the importance of being connected, being tapped into that power of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, it's so critical, and I'm glad you're giving me a chance to talk about the Holy Spirit, because for years I tried to be holy on my own, John. I tried to do it on my own, and it didn't work. I couldn't figure out what was wrong, and then I was fortunate enough to discover the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that Jesus gives us, His Spirit, to enable us to live His life, essentially. And that's one of the functions of the Holy Spirit, is to transform somebody like me into Jesus so that I can bear those good fruits. How do we harness the power of the Holy Spirit? I get asked this question all the time. Come, Holy Spirit. You and I have talked about it. I pray it every morning, and it sounds too simple. It sounds, well, three words. It's got to be more than that. But no, the Holy Spirit is just waiting for that invitation to come alive in us. Come, Holy Spirit, and then wait for these inspirations, these ideas, these feelings we get about what we should do, and then act on them. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to force us to do anything. But once we start letting the Holy Spirit work in us, it's a life changer.
Well, Gary, we have a special devotion to the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air. Every day, I always invoke the Holy Spirit with that very simple, such a short little prayer, but very powerful prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Yeah.
We do it every day. I wouldn't even think of doing a show without the Holy Spirit's aid.
You know, John, that just goes to show you're humble. You realize you can't do this. I can't do what I do. I've seen what I can do on my own. But when we ask the Holy Spirit to work through us, the Holy Spirit can do great things. That's why you're able to do great things. That's why Relevant Radio is able to be so successful and to bring so many souls to the Lord, because of the power of the Holy Spirit.
No question about it. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to transform ourselves, to really live a life of joy and be Jesus' disciple. Because if we say we believe in the resurrection and we haven't changed at all, then what are we really doing?
Yeah, that's exactly right, John. We need to change. We need to respond in some way to the Holy Spirit working in us, because Jesus just doesn't want our words. He wants our actions as well.
Gary, real quickly here in the final moments, you wrote this wonderful book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. Where can our listeners get your book and tap into your ministry as well?
John, the easiest thing to do is to go right to my website, followingthetruth.com, and all of my resources are available on the website, followingthetruth.com.
Well, there's a lot of wonderful resources there, and I always appreciate your passion and conviction that you bring here to the program, and especially about this topic, the joy of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no more important topic for us to engage on than that.
Amen, brother. I'm excited to do it, and I thank you for letting me come on so many times.
Well, it's a joy always to be with you, Gary. Thanks again for being with us here on this Easter Monday.
All right. God bless you, John. Happy Easter, and happy Easter to everyone listening.
Happy Easter to you as well. Gary Zimick, longtime Morning Air contributor, best-selling author, and a popular speaker and parish mission leader. And now it's time for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called It Happened Just As He Said by Peter Kennedy. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you'll see him just as he told you. That's from Mark 16, verses 6 and 7. Former White House counsel Charles Colson, who was convicted for his involvement in the Watergate scandal as an assistant to President Nixon, was often asked about the resurrection and if it could be a hoax with a cover-up to make it look like Christ rose from the dead. He answered, "The Watergate cover-up reveals the true nature of humanity. Even political zealots at the pinnacle of power will, in the crunch, save their own necks, even at the expense of the ones they profess to serve so loyally. But the apostles could not deny Jesus because they'd seen him face to face, and they knew that he had risen from the dead. No, you can take it from an expert in cover-ups. I've lived through Watergate. that nothing less than a resurrected Christ could have caused these men to maintain to their dying whispers that Jesus is alive and is Lord. 2,000 years later, nothing less than the power of the risen Christ could inspire Christians around the world to remain faithful despite prison, torture, and death. Jesus is Lord. That's the thrilling message of Easter. It's an historic fact, one convincingly established by the evidence, and one you can bet your life on. Christ's resurrection is an historical fact. It happened on the first day of the week following Passover in the city of Jerusalem. Our faith is grounded in history, not in philosophy. Today in prayer, thank Christ that he not only predicted his resurrection, but also fulfilled it, so we may have hope in him. From Matthew 28, 5 and 6, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay."
As always, Glenn, thanks so much. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. During this octave of Easter, pray the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight, and pray the Divine Mercy Novena during the Chapel of Divine Mercy, 3 p.m. Central on the Drew Mariani Show. That'll do it for this Easter Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Gabby Burke, Sarah Tafoya, and our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you Tuesday on the next edition of Morning Air. Happy Easter, everyone. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.